marching to Zion. And you know what? Anytime you're on a march or any kind of a journey here, you really don't want to get distracted, right? You don't want to have any sort of misdirection. You want to know what direction you should be traveling in. And that's kind of our theme here today as we run the race, the Christian race. And so let's stand and sing, "We're Marching to Zion." Come we that love the Lord, and let our joys be known. Join in a song with sweet accord, join in a song with sweet accord, and thus surround the throne, and thus surround the throne. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God. Let those refuse to sing who never knew our God, but children of the heavenly King, but children of the heavenly King, may speak their joys abroad, may speak their joys abroad. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God. The hill of Zion yields a thousand sacred sweets. Before we reach the heavenly fields, before we reach the heavenly fields, or walk the golden streets, or walk the golden streets. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God. Then let our songs abound and every tear be dry. We're marching through Emmanuel's ground. We're marching through Emmanuel's ground to fairer worlds on high, to fairer worlds on high. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God. Father God in heaven, we thank you for this hymn and these scriptures we will look at here that, Lord, you've placed before us to keep us on the right path and to keep our eyes having the correct focus. Help us today. Help us every day. Thank you for bringing us here to this assembly. Help us to learn of you. Help us with anticipation as we come to the next hour to appear before your courts and to behold you, that we would not be like those who sink, but have a fixed attention and focus on our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that you would make it so. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. Good singing. You may be seated. I chose this, as odd as this might sound, it's kind of a sister type sequel to what we did last time. Remember last time we talked about the spies that were sent out, and you know, they said, you know, the land is great, looks beautiful, just like you said, filled with fruit, but however, right, there's giants in the land. And so the theme of last week's was similar in that we're talking about focus. What are we focusing on, the good things or the bad things, the goal, or are we talking about the obstacles? But basically what we were talking about is the idea that our buts, when we say but, it becomes a barrier or it becomes an obstacle to us. And that's what we were looking at last week. And so this one is kind of a sequel to that idea that our howevers become barriers. But this one here has to do with something a little bit different. It's similar, but it starts out with this whole idea of a racehorse wearing blinders, right? And of course, you know that the track opens this week, right? And so when you all go up there and you'll see, and I know probably next to none of us go there, I get it, it's a half joke, right? But the racetrack is opening, and if you've had animals, you know how important blinders can be. Whether you actually use blinders or not, if I have a sheep, if I have a goat, if I have any animal, and the last thing you want when you're trying to command some sort of performance is them to be distracted visually. It's true of a dog, right? It's true of us. Okay? So we're going to be talking about blinders here, and blinders provide for us a direction. We're supposed to go in this direction here, and it limits the distractions that we have. And so that's what our author is talking about here. Again, this is from Laurie Short's book, and it's 40 verses. And I can't tell you how many times in the Bible, don't turn to the right or to the left. And sometimes it says, don't turn to the right hand or to the left hand. Sometimes the word hand is in there, but the meaning is all the same. So stay on the path. We're marching to Zion. Don't look to the right and don't look to the left, right? Joshua 1:7. Be strong and be very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. So here's her experience. When I was growing up, I used to go to the racetrack with my dad and watch the racehorses compete. I loved to see the horses all dressed up, the jockeys, blah, 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 right? But the racehorses wore something around their eyes that I had never seen. I was told that because horses, and other creatures too, can be distracted by activity in their peripheral vision, they wear blinders to keep their eyes focused on what is straight ahead. Without them, a jockey would have to be able to keep his horse from being sidetracked, wouldn't be able to, and by what is happening on the right or on the left. And so blinders are essential for a horse to have the best chance of winning a race. In doing some research on blinders, I found an article that said it may have been a preacher who invented them. I mean, preachers are famous for a lot of things. I mean, you all know who James Naismith was. Coach does, I'm sure. James Naismith. He was the Presbyterian minister who developed the game of basketball. So, there you go. He was leading his horse down, this is this other guy here, leading his horse down some unfamiliar stairs. And so again, where you really want someone to concentrate on what we're doing. And you know what? The whole of our life is like this, but there are particular seasons in our life where, you know what? I can't do any more than one day at a time. I can't do any tomorrow. I can't worry about what my neighbors are doing. So it may not even be things that are farther down the road. It may be, you know, I used to be able to pay attention to that. I used to be able to pay, but now I have to do just this. Because of what the horse saw, he covered part of the horse's vision, and then the horse had no problem getting the horse to move. And that's interesting because sometimes the blinding, without the blinders, it's not so much that we go in the wrong direction, but that we don't move at all because we're paralyzed. Paralyzed with uncertainty. The blinders enabled the horse to keep moving in uncertainty or even distraction and temptation to go there. Besides wondering if this horse ever made it into the preacher's sermon, I'm struck by the parallel between this illustration and God's words to Joshua. And we do find these words a lot in the Bible. God is encouraging him to wear spiritual blinders to help Joshua maintain the focus he will need. Only by keeping his eyes fixed on God will Joshua be able to minimize the obstacles and the distractions that threaten his success. If he lets the obstacles around him into his focus, they will grow in their capacity to lure him off God's path. The same is true for us. I mean, there's 1,001 ways we could approach this. Here's the link to last week. Remember, if you were here last week, Joshua has seen what happened when the focus gets shifted. Remember the 10 spies went out in Numbers 13? And, you know, their focus become the giants. And there's no, and, you know, we in our own sight are like grasshoppers compared to them instead of looking at what God has promised them. He knows the success of his mission will be largely due to the focus he is able to retain, meaning keep it. By keeping his eyes forward. You know, and how many of us spend untold hours, right? You can put your hands down, right? Looking back at the past. I wonder how many of us need blinders to that and say, you know what? That's water over the dam. Keeping his eyes forward, he will not only see the next step, he will only see the next step he needs to take. His spiritual blinders will keep him from looking at the size of the whole mission, which could overwhelm him with the scale of the task, right? Do one thing at a time, not going to pay attention to that other stuff. That may come later. Like a racehorse with blinders, Joshua will need to focus on the leg of the journey that is just ahead. That's kind of the one day at a time theme. Though most of us are not called to conquer a land, I don't know if I agree with that, but we are called to conquer our fears. To do so, we need our own spiritual blinders to help us step out in faith. The more we focus on our faith, and I want Lori to be careful here because it's not our faith that we focus on. We focus on our Savior, right? We live in such a, this whole faith-based, we treat like faith. It doesn't matter what the object of your faith is. All faith is equal. We're not teaching that here. And Lori's slipping up a little bit here. It's not about focusing on your faith. It's focusing on your Savior, focusing on your God. The more we focus on our Savior, and I've corrected that on the next page, the smaller our fear grows. However, we may not ever get to the place where fear completely leaves us. When you gawk at your fears, when you get fixated on your fear, they will distract you and ultimately derail you. And this is a great, great example. Peter, right? He's walking on the water towards Jesus. He keeps his eyes on Jesus. He's able to take those miraculous steps. And it's not only looking around him. When he looked at the water, he began to sink, right? So Peter needed those blinders. And so again, I've corrected her in that sidebar there. The more we focus on our Savior, the smaller our fears grow. Where you focus your eyes can make all the difference in your walk of faith. I mean, there's just so many ten thousands of ways in which this is true. Keeping your eyes in front of you doesn't just keep you from focusing on your fears. It also keeps you from seeing detours that can lure you off the path. Rabbit trails. Shortcuts. Things that are more exciting. Hey, it's more fun if we do that. It may be easier than the path that God has called you to take. All right? This is what I have. This is what God's called me to do. It'd be easy to go do that, but here we go. There are times when you may feel limited by God's path and want a different or a more exciting route. Anybody ever feel that way? I'm alone today, all alone. Although God works your detours into the journey, they can distract you from God's will. Your spiritual blinders will keep you from taking other roads along the path God is unfolding for your life. One way to put on spiritual blinders is to think of adjusting a camera lens. And, you know, with, you know, photography is just so, I mean, there's always been this concept of cropping photographs. And boy, what you leave out can make all the difference. Okay. You ask some of these people who are selling real estate and homes, and, you know, they can make, you know, not only because of the lens, they can make things look 10 times bigger than they really are in terms of a room or a table, but they can crop out what's right there that can't be moved right alongside of it. Adjusting the camera lens. With your lens set at a wide angle, you capture many things in your photograph. And, you know, there's times for that. You want to see the big picture, right? When you zoom in, everything but the object you're focused on disappears from view. And so blinders can help in that way. This is the focus you need to move forward in your trust. With every step of faith you take, the more faith you will have as you move forward. And that's true, right? Spiritual blinders can help you block out your distractions. And again, those distractions and rabbit trails and, you know, a lot of Christians really have attention deficit. And what's fine for the moment only lasts for a moment. You're able to move forward on God's path. Every time you experience God's provision and power, you gain more confidence on the mission that God has for you. Keeping your eyes focused on what God has in front of you allows you to move forward in faith. And so it's not only, you know, can't worry about those things on the side, also can't worry about those things that are out of sight. And on some levels, Jesus teaches us by living one day at a time. The things beyond should be out of sight. That doesn't mean we fail to be post-millennialists or anything like that. But one step at a time usually works the best for trying to accomplish things. So we have this reflection here. Where do you need blinders in your faith right now? I've shared a little bit, you know, this idea of looking backwards is not a good idea. There are certain things. I remember, heart surgery is a wonderful thing for saying, I can only think about what's right in front of me right now. Other ailments can be wonderful things for that. I can't pay attention to that right now. Is there something you need to stop focusing on that is a distraction to your faith? And I have a little sidebar there, and it says, you know, focusing on what you can't do versus focusing on what you can do. And one of the things I've done over the last couple of weeks is I saw this documentary on Bill Walton, who was this great basketball player. I don't remember if I may have shared this in a different context with some of you before, but he had all these feet problems during the course of his career. He was, you know, guy went through literally dozens and dozens of surgeries, and he got to a point where his career was over. And you know, if you're any kind of professional athlete, I mean, typically your career is over by the time you're in your mid-30s, maybe 40s anyway, right? And so here was a guy who, and his was even shorter than that, but he couldn't play basketball. And basketball is everything he ever knew. It was his whole life. I mean, he'll tell you it was his God, it was his religion, the basketball court was his church. We're not trying to have you replicate that, but understand that's what his focus was. And now here's a guy who they're saying, you know what, if this next operation doesn't go well, you're not even going to be able to walk again. And then the operation went well, and then, you know what, because of all the damage he had done to his feet, he had these horrific back problems. He was going to die. There was almost nothing he could do physically. And he certainly wasn't going to play basketball anymore. So here's a guy who's 40-ish, right? What am I going to do with the rest of my life? I can't use my body in any way, shape, or form. And so, I mean, if you know anything about Bill Walton, he became an analyst, right? And so he's a commentator, a broadcaster for basketball games. Now, the interesting thing about him is that he was a lifelong stutterer. So he had to go back and really work on his speech. And he had help, and he's had become, I mean, he's retired now, but he had become just an amazing broadcaster. But he had to go through this period where he had to stop focusing on what he can't do. He had to completely stop focusing on what he can't do and start focusing on what he can do. Maybe that's true for some of us. Maybe, maybe not. Number two, the reflection is, have you ever experienced getting tripped up because you didn't keep your eyes focused on what was ahead? If so, when? This is meant to be figurative, but it is also literal. Okay. And so what I have on my little sidebar, I can remember one time I was talking with Peter Fazioli. We had come in from the school over there, and we were going heading out this way, and Peter and I was talking, and for some reason he ended up being a couple steps behind me, right? And so I'm still talking with him, and so we're walking this way, and I can walk through this place in the dark. I've been here forever, right? I can walk. I don't have to look where I'm going, right? So I'm talking to Peter, and I'm walking down there, and I just took the most horrendous fall over this chair right here. Because this chair hasn't been here for 40 years, right? But so the point is have you ever been tripped up because you weren't focusing on where you were going? That is a very material example of what happened spiritual, even if we're in what we think are familiar ground or familiar territory. I mean, there are a few places that are, I mean, I've been here longer than I've lived in my house, and I've lived at my house for 30 years. So turn off all the lights, forget the skylights. I can make my way through here without a problem. Right? And I mean, obviously, it wasn't in the dark when this happened, right? Peter and I are walking through. I think it was probably a Thursday night. So we walked through, and I'm looking this way. And I tripped right over that chair. And as soon as I fell down, I said, I wonder if that's going to heal my injury. So, we're not talking about literal things like that. We're talking about spiritually. Have you ever been tripped up and really going on a long detour or a rabbit trail? I said, God had me on the path to doing this for him or doing that for him or focusing on, you know, my finances or focusing on my marriage, and all of a sudden I'm doing 10,000 other things. Then number three, where in your life do you need courage to step out? What stood out in this reflection to inspire you? And so where do you need to put blinders on? Because you know what? You're kind of like that horse, and you got to go down that ramp, and you're just paralyzed. Because there's too much. So, who wants to chime in here? I've given you a couple of my stories. No one has ever gone off the path here. Is that right? That's right, we're here. Anybody want to share a story with them? With us?
You talked about barriers. And
yeah.
It just came to my mind when I was coaching track, coaching hurdlers. And if you look at every hurdle, you're going to trip up. So you get your steps down, and when the race starts, you look at the finish line, and the barriers, the hurdles, go over naturally.
They're invisible.
If you look, and you can see if you ever watch hurdlers, if they mess up and look at one, they're done. Now they started their steps, they follow for the next one. It's just, it takes a lot of discipline to learn your steps. So we would spend a lot of time just, what are our steps to the first hurdle and second hurdle? Mm-hmm. You get over those two in the right step, you're okay. You don't even look at the hurdles, you look right at the end of the finish line.
The same thing is true of high jumping, by the way. And I was a high jumper before they did the Fosbury flop, the backwards way. So what would happen is you would look at the bar, right? And so you would just kind of run up to it, but you're looking at the bar and fling yourself over as best you could. But when the flop came into being, and it's also true of the people who go frontwards now, they don't look at the bar at all anyway. And obviously, with the flop, You're certainly not looking at the bar because you're turning your back to the bar, right? But it's all about the steps. It's the same exact thing. They get their starting point. They got this down. They have the exact path they're going on. They know how many steps they are going to take. And it's automatic. It doesn't matter if the bar is even there and they go up not looking at the bar and they go over. Same exact thing. That's a good example. Anybody else? Joseph?
Tabletop magazine.
Yeah.
About a year ago, maybe. One issue was on a diet.
Yep. Yep.
That's a big problem.
Yes.
I couldn't help when you were going over this.
Yeah.
This
yes.
This will help us with our anxiety.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Right.
Yeah.
Right. And we're creatures, and part of that is we want to be in control of everything, but God asks us to do, hey, Jim, this is too big for you. You just focus on this. Yeah. Yep. Yep, been there, done that many times over. Say it again.
Still doing it.
Anybody else?
I don't want
to. Yeah.
Several reasons. One of them was fear. But they persisted, so I finally agreed. I had been to the mission many times to support them, but now all of a sudden I'm going down here. Very first time. I was 35 minute drive from my house to the mission the whole time. Heart driving down in my heart is pounding. Then when I got down to the mission, heart was across the street. I couldn't get out of the car. I was so scared I couldn't get out of the car. And I had been in the mission many times. Not the truth, but the
truth. Yeah, yeah.
I couldn't get out of my car.
Yeah.
And I picked up my cell phone and I called Dan. And usually when I call Dan, it always goes to voicemail. But by God's providence, he answered. Dan, my car crossed the street. Good, you get ready to run. I said, I can't get out of my car. Oh, I can't do it. I'm going to turn around and go back home. I can't do it.
Yep.
You said close your eyes. That helped. But I was able to get out of the car after that. I came out of there an hour later. I felt better with my whole life. What a spiritual I was just. But I'll tell you, I know what fear and spiritual pressure is. They'll paralyze you.
Yep.
Anyway.
Yep. Sounds good. Mike?
I read a story recently about a brother who caused an accident. It turns out looking at his phone. I think one of the
nice and loud so everybody can hear you.
I think one of the big parts of distractions is that we forget about everything around us.
and we focus on ourselves. And ourselves distract us. Mm-hmm. And so everybody else becomes a little bit less important. And when that happens, destruction usually shows up. And I've noticed this even in my own home. When something happens, you know, and I think it's all about me,
mm-hmm.
and I've forgotten that, you know, maybe my wife's dealing with pain or something else. And really, it's not. If I just took my eyes off me for a minute, mm-hmm. the situation in front of me would totally change. And I'd be able to walk through it in a more godly way.
Mm-hmm.
In a more righteous way. So the whole point is that sometimes we're our biggest distraction.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. Yep. Yeah, looking at self. Right. Right. Yes, Terry.
Earlier in this article, it said something about that it's the way to get the horse through uncertainty.
Yeah, right.
I think there's some people, whenever I come to like a decision that I'm nervous about, it's usually for a particular reason. I think there's people that they try to overuse Jesus' saying, like, to take one day at a time, and so mm-hmm. they don't make any plans.
Yeah.
So they don't know, they don't plan for the known unknowns.
Yeah.
But so whenever I'm nervous about something, it's usually because of the unknown unknowns. If there's known unknowns, like things that I know, I don't know exactly what they're going to go, but there's like a way that I can plan for like contingencies. But it's those unknown unknowns, the things that you don't know that you don't even know that they might go wrong, that those are the ones that at least I have to block out so that I can move forward.
Right, right, right. Yep. Good, good. Anybody else? If you're familiar with Laurie's book, I there's no particular order in which I'm choosing these. When I do see things that are kind of similar to ones in the past, you know, we'll look at them. So this one was similar to last week, so I chose it. Now, coming up soon, I have my own and Karen's wedding anniversary. And we're going to be married 37 years. And the text of one of Lori's essays comes from Ezekiel 37. And so I'm going to choose that for next Sunday. And you know what happens in Ezekiel 37, right? There's the vision there of the Valley of Dry Bones. And the question is, can these bones live? And I thought for a marriage that's 37 years old with two people who are kind of slowing down and having health issues, can these bones live? So it's not going to be about us, but that's why I'm choosing it for next week. So stay tuned. Father God in heaven, we thank you for your grace, and we know that you are the sovereign God, and so that you can make the driest of bones, the deadest of bones live. And so we praise you. We thank you for that. We thank you for this reminder here as well as the one last week. Lord, help us as we navigate, Lord, the various callings that we have in our life. Lord, help us to look to you and to be fixed, turning our eyes upon Jesus. Make it so, we pray. Help us in the next hour, we pray. We give you thanks for all things. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for your attention.